Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Starfield Raw. I am Joe the Widget, and I am joined by my amazing co-host, the man who is the legendary explorer, Rook.
Except for this time, I'm not exploring. I'm doing the Crimson Fleet.
Also, I said legendary, because it's been, you know, which I'm excited to hear about your Crimson Fleet, by the way.
Yeah, it's actually, I'll be honest, it's been entertaining, especially with my bounty hunter.
I think I put in the in the show notes of like at least 20 episodes, and Rook explored.
Yeah, and this time you're going and Rook played Crimson Fleet.
I haven't done that in probably like 4 or 5 episodes at least.
Yeah.
Because you haven't explored, which is pretty cool. And you guys might hear that the void in the show tonight, Mr. Archon, unfortunately will not be on. He had to work a 12-hour day. At the time of recording, was still not home, so he said, go on without me, guys.
We tried saying, no, we can't go on without you.
I'm going to ruin some people's days when they hear this because me and Rook decided, hey, let's get one of the fans on to join us for tonight's episode. Because we've had quite a few people message us saying, hey, if you guys ever want a guest, let me know. I'd love to be on the show. We're like, we always told everybody, no, not on this show. We don't really bring on guests unless you're in the industry. So we decided, you know what? Let's go for it. So we messaged out some of the people that are more outspoken in our Discord and have been with us for a while and to see if they wanted to come on the show. Ones that we've heard in voice chat. One in particular that's been on our other show, Mr. Kilo. But yeah, so no one was on at the time that I was asking if they would be interested. And, well, it was last minute notice. I think I messaged people 20 minutes before record time.
Yeah, that's a little bit last minute. But we tried.
When we found out that Archon wasn't going to be on, we figured, well, let's fill the void with somebody. But we tried.
Illness, you missed out. It's your fault.
So I'm going to put this out there. I think we might lift the embargo on guest hosts at some point in the near future on the show. If we do, let us know in Discord if you are interested so we can talk to you and see if it's something that would work. So in that case that something like this does happen, you can reach out to you and be like, hey, come on, join the show.
Yep. We record every Wednesday or Thursday, depending upon real life.
Yeah. And we usually record at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So it's not terrible. Like, well, we have Thursday as our buffer day. We're actually recording on Thursday this week because of me, because I had to go out of town for work on Wednesday, and I was so dead to the world that it would have been a bunch of grunts and groans, and it would not have been a good podcast. It would have been a zombie Joe.
It would have been a Tim the Toolman Taylor kind of show.
Yeah, you know what? That could be cool. Yeah. Try to do my best Ninja Turtles impression right there. Didn't work.
Oh, well.
Because it was Ninja Turtles 2, when I think it was Mikey playing with the inflatable toy in the very beginning of it, and he was pushing it back and forward and got that look of surprise, and was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I'm a Turtles fan. I have like half that movie memorized.
And then in the middle of the fight in that scene, they start acting like that little thing and poke the guy's eye.
Yep.
Hey, whatever.
Why can't they make movies like that anymore? Whimsical, fun, reasons. And just awesome.
Reasons.
So, Rook and I have both played the game a bit this week, it looks like. And we've got a couple things in the news and our usual round Discord. It may not be the longest episode, but we're going to have an episode for you guys.
Yes, very much so. And it might turn out longer than we expect.
I wouldn't complain.
Because, you know, we are starting to record at closer to 6 o'clock, so I can actually keep track of how long our recording is.
Yeah, we were pretty close to being on time today. We're hardly ever on time.
No, yeah, we always start like at least 15 to 20 minutes late. All right, so should we get to our weeks?
Yes. Let's hear about the Crimson Fleet, man. What have you been up to? What do you think?
Well, so far, it's very intriguing, especially when I'm role-playing my bounty hunter, because everybody knows she's a bounty hunter. She goes for the money. Does she want to kill the person? Or does she want to subdue the person or talk her way out of it? Well, lately I found myself wanting to kill the people because they're just anus holes. There you go.
that's still pushing it, buddy. Pushing it.
I had to think about it.
Would work?
Yeah. They're a-holes.
They're an arse.
There you go. They're bloody arses.
But the key is awesome. I'm just saying, it's got so much in there. I like how
it's really, for how small it looks, like you said, there's a lot in there, and everything is localized, so it's easier to get to everything you need to get to.
Have you gone to the point where you can actually modify your ship yet in the key?
I have gotten, let's see, the last quest I did was a Trident quest line, so I don't think I've gotten to that point yet.
You're almost there.
Yeah, I just turned in the trophy.
Okay, yeah, okay, so you're right there, man.
Yeah, so,
you get to do one of my favorite missions in the games coming up, where you get to steal some top secret goodies.
Oh, yeah, that one. That's where I'm at in the game, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get into this really quick. I'm not going to spoil anything. Well, you don't care about that, but...
Yeah, I don't care about it.
When you're doing that mission, and inside there, you go into a computer, and it shows you that all the secret products they're developing and where they are located. I've always wanted to go in that mission to see if I could actually steal some of those, other than the one that you're in there for, the spike.
Oh, okay. I might try that just to see what happens.
Yeah, I recommend some saves because they will murder your butt quick.
Yeah, and since she prefers to use pistols, I think she has one rifle. No, she has a shotgun, but mostly it's like three or four different pistols in her hot bar.
Nice.
Well, one's the Varun pistol, the particle weapon. Okay. Another one's a silenced pistol. Another one's the mag shot. And another one's the revolver.
You know what you kind of remind me of? If you had two of each, you know that... Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints. They come across the old man. Yeah.
The old man.
They come across their dad, their actual dad.
Well, they don't know at the time, but yeah.
Yeah. Just pulling out pistols while walking. And then the detective during the thing goes, "There was a firefight."
One of the best lines of any movie. Just saying.
Yeah. Every time I play her, I wish I could dual wield a pistol because that would make it so much more entertaining. Just to pull out two pistols, be running and gunning. And if you were over here, you have seen me doing the finger guns. but no, I was running the Trident quest line, and when I got on the ship, it was, for a Trident ship, it was very unimpressive.
Think so?
They talk about how impressive these ships are supposed to be, and I'm like, really? You could have had better hallways leading to their staterooms.
Yeah, I thought that too when I went through it. It's like, I thought, well, man, if I was the one designing the ship for the game, I used to be a designer, I know a couple things, I was thinking, man... For one, the spacing of it is wrong. It doesn't make any practical sense. But two, they could have increased the size of a lot of the areas and made it more roomy.
Mm-hmm.
And decorated, like you said, a little better. I never did decoration. I always had someone else do that. But still.
Yeah, they could have. My issue is when you're going onto the ship from the boarding port, that's okay because I expect that not to be very fancy since it's ship-to-ship boarding.
The mess area.
Yeah, but where the ship, I would assume where the ship people actually get on board, unless it just, they need a better location for the docking port, because going through the kitchen to get to the docking port, really?
Like, if you have your high profile first class guests coming through that to get on the ship, no, come on.
Yeah, that was a failure on their end, I think, on the design.
But on the plus side, though, that quest is awesome because of one thing, the intrigue of it all, but you can do that quest in so many different ways.
Yeah, you can. If I was playing a stealth character, I would probably snuck into the rooms myself and got the information I needed.
That's what I did the first time.
I actually went and talked to all the people. So I wrote them in the notes that it gave me really good spy game vibes.
Double O Rook.
Yeah. Double O Rook. I do have double O. R-O-O-K. R-O-O-K.
You're Ook. Double O-K. Yeah. Ook.
I'm Ook. But no, I chose non-lethal route, not killing anybody, not sneaking in. I did more bribing than anything.
I did that route. I did sneak in a lot of areas my first time, and I went non-lethal because I wanted to get the best outcome for the UC. Because I was siding with them, you know? And the one time where I went and sided with the Crimson Fleet, I didn't care. I was stealth assassinating everybody.
Yeah. So what I actually like is I have Sam Coe. My bounty hunter's married to him. She's actually running around, and he actually makes a lot of comments. He is that gray line. He straddles that gray line a lot in this quest line, and you really see more about his character and what he's been through and how he's like...
I did not know that your character married him.
Yep.
So what was that? What was the in quotes here, wedding like with him?
So...
I think you brought this up before. I'm trying to remember what you said, though.
It's more of a homely style because you do it at his dad's place on Aquila. It's really... It was more a homely vibe, and it's actually one I like it better than Sarah's.
Did his daughter accept you and all that stuff?
Yeah, she's actually happy you actually get married to him.
That's cool.
And because I finished his entire quest line, she's always talking on the ship. She's always talking about how her and her mom have a vacation planned and all the stuff about her mom since they reconcile. Spoiler alert. But it's actually, it's so far when it comes to storyline and the effects after that story, with the daughter involved, Korra actually adds another side to the after marriage thing to makes it more entertaining, in my opinion.
Does she change her dialogue and stuff like that when she's on the ship with you guys?
Yeah, like I said, after you finish the storyline and whatnot, she's talks like the last one I had was where she was talking about her vacation, planned vacation with her mom. Mom and daughter vacation plan. So it's actually putting up with her on the ship, asking for books and stuff all the time is worth it for roleplay purposes at the end. I actually enjoy having her married to Sam, and it turned out, now that I'm running the Crimson Fleet questline, turned out to be the best option, I think, in regards to a permanent companion because of his, like I said earlier, because of his gray area that he works with. Because he's made comments on me bribing, threatening, coercing, and he's never once not liked my decisions I made. Now, I haven't gone around killing everybody, but... He might frown on that.
No, I'm glad you saw that side because I was really curious about it because I won't do it. Now he's got to figure out, you know, Barrett's.
Yeah, I might create another character. Actually, I don't know if I'm going to create a male or female character or go after Barrett.
Well, technically, you know, Barrett is gay, so.
In that case.
But they, I think, you know, any character goes either way in this game.
Oh, yeah. One of us has to actually do it. So I'll bite the bullet and go after Barrett so we can get the storyline. I say it like that because I wasn't planning on making, because Rook is married to Sarah. Mm-hmm. Sadie, the bounty hunter, is married to Sam. Kaelin, my explorer, he is not married to anybody because all he's doing is exploring. So yeah.
I'm mostly married Andreja, of course, my boo. I think I married her 5 times now, 4 times. And on my pirate guy, if you guys remember that challenge back in the day, I married Sarah, and that wasn't even intentional. Apparently, she likes the bad guys. She likes the bad boys.
She likes the explorers, and she likes the bad boys. But no, could you imagine if the Unity was real and... You're coming up to her saying, you know, and saying all these things about her and how creeped out she would be in real life.
Right. I still want to get one of the voice actors from the primary four to come on the show. Mm-hmm. Right? That'd be cool.
That would be very cool. I just don't know how we would
I'll have to look them up and see what I can do.
Yeah. Like I said off air, I'd love to get Aspen Clark to get on here and just... Random questions about what it's like writing for a big game and stuff like that. Nothing that would violate her NDA, but that would be pretty cool. So
if she's listening, give us a shout out or let us know and we'll put you on.
If anybody from that panel was listening, give us a shout out. We will discuss your NDAs, which you cannot talk about, and we can easily come up with questions avoiding that.
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very familiar with gaming NDAs, so it's easy to skirt.
I'm very familiar with having to not talk about certain things. So
yeah.
So yeah, that was it. I ended up letting the guy live at the end of that, and I actually helped the ship captain get back into the Crimson Fleet. I gave him credit.
I've done that before too. Yeah. And there's the other guy, the first guy you get in the beginning, who's the other recruit for you. Mm-hmm. Did you vouch for him, or did you throw him under the bus?
I threw him under the bus.
Right on. High five.
Nobody's going to take my money. High five. Nobody's taking my bounty hunter's money.
I don't think I've ever vouched for that guy. I think I've thrown him underneath the bus every dang time because it's just too much fun to kill him later.
Oh, I just wanted to kill him right then and there. Because yeah,
that would have been fun. But
now, granted, the way you go into it, you kind of need to get into the good favor of Delgado. But if it would let me find another way to join the Crimson Fleet, that would have been better. Because then I would have killed him outright.
Fair enough.
So how was your playthrough, man?
Oh, yeah. So let's get into this, shall we? At the end of the NASA mission, you have to talk to the Hunter and the Emissary right outside on the flats of withered down Earth. And they get into the debate on whether Earth should be spared or should have been spared, or rather going out into the stars if it was worth letting Earth die and that kind of thing. They get in this whole debate thing. At the end of that, though, you get a dialogue option. One of them is Emissary is right. The artifact needs to be in the right hands. But then the question always entered my mind in this dialogue option was, who determines who the right hands are? Him?
So I will tell you, I made that mistake option once.
Yeah.
And got owned.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about two Starborn that have been through the Unity and have a lot more power than you do.
Yeah. And I have fought them both at the same time at the end. And it's not an easy fight. If you want one of the hardest fights in the game, do that. And then the other one is the Hunter is right. The only rule, the only real rule is one who gets the artifact first, which is normally the one I pick.
Yeah, the one time I went through, I went with the Emissary's option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or you both, the option is you're both wrong. It's time for the others, or for someone other than the Starborn to make the decision. I've never picked that. I've always wanted to pick it, but I didn't know if it would start the fight with those two.
I mean, if you kill them both, you're proving you're right. You're proving yourself right.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I'm going to have to do that one of these days and just to see, because I've never seen that dialogue option.
Now, knowing the story of the artifact and stuff, I can see where the Hunter is coming from in that regard, because scientists getting that, while yes, space travel is better, they did destroy Earth as we know it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sidebar, there's a group, there's a person who's going around making outposts on Earth trying to recolonize Earth.
I saw that. I didn't read too much into it, but I found that interesting.
See, what I don't like about Earth in this game is that's one of the planets they should have hand-drawn, and they shouldn't have just left it as a dusty cover. They should have left it mountainous, like you would actually see if all the water and everything was gone.
Yeah, they did the whole, that part as a shortcut.
Yeah.
It sucks, but
Bethesda cheated. How dare they?
They did cheat. Being in the gaming industry, I know where they take shortcuts and what they do, how those shortcuts in time frame and design and deadlines kind of overrule story, and they have to rewrite the story for that.
In space, so you don't have a 500 gigabyte downloaded game.
There's a lot of things I understand why they made the decisions they made. I mean, I fully understand it. A lot of people don't. They just see it as, well, it should have been everything and everything I ever wanted.
Just because you understand it, though, doesn't mean you have to like it.
True. That is very, very true. It would have been awesome to have at least ruins on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make actually that much sense why it would just be a dusty, barren wasteland.
Yeah, I get it if you show a lot of areas where there's a lot of meteor impacts. Cool, there's no magnetosphere and atmosphere to protect the planet's surface. Yeah, you're going to have impacts, but not everything should be destroyed.
I know that everything would die. We lose our atmosphere. Everything's dead. Mm-hmm. That's a given. But, yeah, there's a lot of science involved. I have to look up the actual science on that, because that's not exactly how it would look.
No, look at Mars. Even Mars has a lot of different
It has train features.
It has train features. It doesn't look like a desert across the entire thing.
But Mars does have a atmosphere. It's a lot less than Earth, but it does have one.
Yeah. But even the moon has more geographical features. The moon in game has more geographical features. I will keep doing that. All right. What's next?
Fair enough. I completed the hidden temple run in less than 12 parsecs.
Nice. So you found that shortcut.
Yeah, I getting so used to doing that quest, I persuaded the hunter at the end to just give up the artifacts. I didn't want to worry about fighting. I just wanted to get through it, man. I wanted to get into the Unity. But I also found myself wondering, since a couple episodes ago we talked about how the original storyline was different than what it came out to be because they had to change it due to deadlines. And mm-hmm. The Hidden Temple is actually a last-minute last quest. So I was wondering what it would have been like. What was the actual end of the game supposed to be like? And they did mention in different things that there was supposed to be a lot more missions after that point.
See, that is some stuff I would expect from small updates, adding these small missions back in.
Yeah,
expanding it. Just to change the game a little bit, yeah. Making the game longer, and then you release your big DLC, which just changes everything. It shatters the space everywhere.
Shattered space, man. Still can't wait for it. It's a lot of speculation going around, but there's a lot of people getting really depressed that we haven't heard anything at all. Nothing. Zip, zilch, nada. But, you know, we'll get back into playing the game the way it is, because it's still an amazing game for what it is.
It is.
And we don't know what that's going to be like, because we don't have the original MDD, which is a master design document, which outlines what would have been there.
That is true.
I would love to read the MDD for this game. It would be a monstrous Bible of a book, but it'd be so much fun to read.
Holy.
What?
Oh, I decided to look up some Starfield news, and one of the articles that popped up caught my attention from IGN.
Is it the one about the new mod?
Yeah, the DLC size mod.
Man, I have it in the notes.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Okay, so I started the Great Power Run. So at that point where you get all the artifacts, instead of going to the Unity, you hold off and you go back to the Lodge 15,000 freaking times. And then back out to space 15,000 freaking times finding temples.
Mm-hmm.
During one point, I went and got my next temple run and I noticed it gave me two temples. I was so excited. Instead of just giving me one, it actually gave me two. So I went and did the first one. And after I got done with it, I went to the map. I activated that mission because it always switches to go to the Unity. But I didn't want to. So I activated the map for the next mission. Went out the map, zoomed all the way out, trying to find the new, you know, area I was supposed to go to. Lo and behold, the marker was still on me. So I was getting pissed. Like, okay, why does it keep... Is it bugging out on me? Why does it keep picking my current quest? So I switched out quests a few times to see, and it kept doing the same thing. I was getting aggravated. But then I noticed something. It was an instant facepalm when I realized that the next temple was on the planet next to the one I'm at.
Wow. That is a facepalm.
Well, it gets better than this, dude. So I got on the planet, and I pulled out it's on a forest. No, it was not a forest. It was one of those... desert-like area. So mm-hmm. I pull out my thing and I see that there's one of those geological sites that you can find on the planet, so those question mark ones.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it wasn't a temple, but the only place that was making my scanner go nuts was that one spot. So I figured, I'll walk over there and get it just so I can have it. See, I explored it. Got over to it and I took my scanner out and it was still pointing at it. And then I looked after getting frustrated again and the temple was behind it. About another 30 yards away.
Oops.
My line of view was being blocked by that spot. And it was triggering the... Yeah, it was just a mess. That whole thing was a mess. And I was getting tired of doing the power run, even though I wanted to get all of them. So I said, okay, once I get Scent Star Stuff 5, I'll be good. Maybe I'll stop and just go into the Unity. Well, Scent Star Stuff happened to only come around in the second to the last power I found.
Oh, wow. That's pretty out there.
Yeah. Normally, I get it in the very, first four or five. Not this time. It was not till the end. So, I went ahead and got the last one, and I jumped into the Unity. Oh, but before I did that, though, on one of these temples I was running for the power. I turned on personal atmosphere and I thought, you know what? I have never seen my powers activate in third person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally never play in third person at all in this game.
Yeah, same here.
I pulled out third person and looked, and it's actually really, really cool looking. Nice. You do it at night in particular, it looks really, really cool. So I just started running around in third person and using my jetpack. It's a completely different game in third person.
some things look cool in third person. Personally,
combat sucks in third person, but...
Oh, yeah. When does combat not suck in third person?
SOCOM. SOCOM and SOCOM 2.
That's a one-off.
SOCOM 3 were the best.
That's a one-off. Well, also Mass Effect, because you can't really go in the first person.
Isn't that more like a third person over the shoulder?
Yeah, it's over the shoulder. But I could see how it would look cool, because they did put all those effects in it. Yeah. I do occasionally switch from first person, and this is going to be the most corniest thing. But I switch from first person to third person just to see the difference of how it sounds when I'm running in first person and how it looks like I'm running in third person and how they're not the same.
No, it's not the same.
No, it sounds like you're running faster in third person than when you're in first
person. And it looks like it, too.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up. And I also noticed that my guy has no butt.
Dude, in these suits we wear, none of us have butts.
It's just not there.
The only thing you can customize is your face.
And which brings me to something that I noticed. When I went to went back to the lodge, I was in third person. I realized that Andrasia was the exact same height as me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to check this. I went to every character in the lodge, all the exact same height as your character, except the children.
Outside the lodge, it looks roughly the same way as where
they
almost everybody's...
They are all the same height. And the reason they did that was for first-person perspective view. It makes it easier.
Yeah. But what if I wanted to play a little person running around in this bulky spacesuit?
That would be like epic. Can you imagine they had something like Ark Survival Evolves character builder or Conan's?
Oh, God, Conan's. Oh, my God. That would have been very entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah, it really would. And I did jump through the Unity.
And?
Got through all that. And nope. No dice. Normal.
Ah. So your notes made me hope you had it.
I know, that's why I did that. There'll be explanation marks when I get it. Size 14 or 16 cap.
Yeah, it's a 15% chance. And I hate that it's a 15% chance.
Yeah, because I'll never see it because my luck sucks.
I think the number of artifacts you find in your playthrough should increase the chances of you getting at least one of them.
Yeah. I'm with you. Or, the further you get on, it should increase by like 3% every time you go through the Unity.
Yeah, see, that would make sense.
So I may never see it. Hopefully I do, because there's a couple I would really like to see in person, like my mirror image one, which that'd be cool, because I want to run around with my guy. Oh, look, it's me. And have
marry
dual
yourself.
Snipers. I'm not that narcissistic. So I skipped the story, so I'm gonna just power through it, get to the next Unity, and then the next one. I'm on game plus. I'm back to where I was originally, new game plus 5, but I'm still like 15 levels behind what I was, so I might put a base down, an outpost, and then level up a little bit. Haven't decided.
That makes sense. Speaking of outposts, you did some polls, sir.
I did. Yeah, well, they released polls in Discord. I had to.
So you asked everybody if they did another contest, which one would you be interested in doing? 50% of the vote, only 8 votes. There's still 22 hours left. Right now, Fighter Ships is winning. Personal Outpost is a close second with 1 vote difference.
So if we do another contest, which we may or may not have a really awesome prize as different than we've given away before. And when we do announce a new contest, I'll announce the prize and it's going to be worth it.
However, we'll have to have more than just 3 people joining the contest.
Yes. Because this prize, I've been tempted. I'm not telling you guys what it is, just in case we don't do a contest, because I'm going to keep it if we don't. But if we do a contest, I'm going to definitely give it away. It'll be worth it.
Next week, we will have an idea if we're going to do another contest or not. And we'll have an idea of what that contest will be.
Right. We want one that people are going to want to participate in and do. So
yeah,
the last one, we only had like 3 or 4 submissions. And
but I think if we did either the fighter ship build or the personal outpost build, people will be more interested because then they get to design it how they want to and not with the restriction of, oh, it must be a factory-esque build.
Okay, Illness cracked me up this morning, by the way, in Discord.
How so?
He said, I picked a spot to start my home base outpost last night. This contest happening or what?
Nice. Well, yeah. Oh, I'm looking right at it now. Location over resources. Wanted to have the ex-military there. There are landmines in my yard. Kind of hideout feel. Unless, he really likes building stuff.
You're the bomb, dude. But hey. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you right now. That is not the winning vote right now.
No, not yet. But I do like... there was one of the things you posted a picture trying to find a way to get them before the event happens at the Hidden Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Illness came out. Time to lay out millions of landmines.
I meant to mention that, by the way, in my notes, and I completely forgot. I use Sense Star stuff all the time with my character because that's how I built. That's how I play him. He's my stealth assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And I like knowing where my enemies are. It makes planning out their death really easy. And if you do, you could definitely tell that this was a last-minute build because of how they have it positioned. So there are different triggers in gaming. I'm going to go into a little bit about insider game design here. So there are things called triggers. And triggers are where we put a point where the player has to meet a condition for an event to occur. Once that condition is met, the event then plays. Now, oftentimes, we don't preload assets, aka enemies or certain environmental stuff, until that trigger is met. But they didn't do that because it actually takes more code to get it off screen. They hit them inside, underneath the ground, underneath the platform. And they're active because when you hit send star stuff, they appear all huddled up together underneath the platform at the very spot where you trigger. And these triggers that they use in this one, I played with it this today, actually, is when you go over a certain point, they use what they call tripwire. So tripwire is where after a player crosses a certain point on the map, it'll activate the event. So that's what they used in this. And that's why it makes it impossible for a stealth player like myself to go stealth and take everything out because you can't trigger it until you're in the middle of it.
Now, the question is can you memorize where they come out and just mine the crap out of it so when they come out, they all blow up?
I did. They come out on the second upper platform. All along the top of it. You can get every one of them except one. One of them comes off on the right.
Hey,
I pay attention to that stuff.
Having one versus a ton is a lot better.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So continuing around, that was actually pretty interesting information. Just like the panel explaining how much work goes into voice acting for a video game.
Oh, dude, I can talk all day on game design and concepts. I used to teach classes on game design at Buffalo Game Space.
We just don't want to bore our Starfield Raw folks.
No, that's not what this show's about.
All right, so there was a question on Discord asked by Desktop General. He asked, what was each person's RP's perspective of going through the Unity? Before and after.
You know, we've had a question similar to this before.
We have.
I don't remember who said it, but RP-wise, for instance, my character, my main's my stealth assassin, and he's someone that kind of borderlines between... He loves that gray area. He lives in the gray area.
Mm-hmm.
To him, the only right and wrong is by his perspective. No one else's. So he has no problems taking out people at a distance without ever being seen in revels and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So when he goes to the Unity, it's all about what can he gain from it.
And then I'm assuming after you come through the other side, you're like, what can I do to make it big in this one?
Exactly. Well, what can benefit me in this?
Nice.
Because I already know what's going to happen. So how am I going to utilize that for my game?
That's nice. So I'm at a disadvantage compared to you because my primary character, I haven't played Rook consistently for a while, but when he went through, it was all about the loss of Sarah, his wife. She died on first playthrough. And so he went through and literally paid attention to everything that changed before he went through. Then he went through and he vowed to not let those he cared about die again. And so he's been fighting in every conflict he can to help those he cares about. I haven't sent my other characters through to Unity yet, which I think I should after the Crimson Fleet. I should send my Bounty Hunter through.
We still have a... I got 2 points really quick here.
Mm-hmm.
One is, to those of you who in our Discord that still have not gone to the Unity, save the game, go through the Unity so you could see what it is. Because you're not going to understand the full story until you do.
Yeah. They do a great job of explaining the story. And
if you don't want to be in that, you don't want to continue on, you can just reload your save and go back to where you were.
Yeah.
But at least see it.
The importance of seeing the Unity is you get to see what happens after you have changed. They don't do a big video of what changed, but you can hear the story of what happened and how
don't
you
spoil
affected
it too much.
I'm just saying how you affected the world.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Galaxy. Yeah.
And after I had married Andreja for the first time, her end story, it moved me. I don't ever cry. I think the only time I ever cried was when my son was born. But it was still touching.
So why you cry when you step on Legos?
No, that's just a string of swear words I will never record. So the second thing I was going to bring up is we actually had someone ask us to do an RP episode where we kind of role play our characters.
Yeah. I always role play my characters.
I think me and Rook would be down for that. I don't think Archon would, but...
Archon doesn't strike me as somebody who role plays much. Well, actually, not the role play we thinking of right here.
Right. I've done other podcasts where we did skits and stuff like that, and they're a blast. I love doing voice act work and stuff like that, so it's so much fun. So, I don't know, maybe me and Rook, one of these days, we'll do a little skit based off of our own characters and role play them a little bit for you guys.
That would be actually pretty interesting. We'd have to sit down and hash it out on
how
we want to do it.
Planning for sure.
Because I'd have to definitely figure out what character I want to run. Do I want to run my PTSD stricken soldier who drinks every can of alcohol he finds?
Yes.
Or do I want to roleplay my my primary character who is now it's going to be my bounty hunter, which would cause me to have to try talking in a female voice.
I was gonna say, you don't want
to
do that, man. I've talked in lady voices. If you go to Raw and Nerdy, I did a couple of chapters of my book, which I'll get back to that later after we get through the whole WonderCon stuff.
I gotta listen to this because I got
in the last one. Yeah, I did a female voice. It was fun.
But
I've done female voices in the past. It's not easy.
My voice pitch is high enough. I might be able to pull it off. But
right?
But no, Rook is too much me. So I don't want to use Rook for role playing.
That's fair.
It would be either Kaylin or Sadie, unless I create another character.
We've gone on so many tangents tonight. I love it. But now, Desktop General had another part of his question.
Yeah, he did. He says, I thought it would be cool if, as a community, we develop a mod together, like one that lets you run your own space station.
I'm claiming that IP. That was my idea. But I'd be cool developing that. as long as I get credit for being the designer.
See, this is the reason why I really want to see the creation, what are they calling it? The creation kit come out.
Yes, and that's been so overdue.
I guarantee you they would not be losing so many players if that kit was already out already.
Oh, for sure. Like, there's the mod we're going to talk about tonight. They were waiting to put it out for the kit. Because mm-hmm. it's been delayed so much, they know, and she never heard about it. She released it through, what mod was that?
Platform.
I just completely spaced it.
we both spaced it, because I was reading that same article, and I don't remember it.
It's been all over the news lately, and in fact, we could get into that right now before we continue on.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so the modder by the name, Nexus Mods.
Yeah.
By TankGirl444. She uploaded the latest project that took her over a month to create and basically claims it as a new DLC size mod. Now, without the creation kit, installing a mod is a lot more difficult and more of a pain in the neck than it will be when they get that released. But you can still do it. And there's some benefits to it, actually. I'm actually halfway tempted to try this mod out myself. And,
the only downside is you lose the ability to get achievements. If you don't care about achievements, do mods.
Well, I already ruined that when I did the whole create a ship video because I used the command line to give myself credits.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
I cheated for that. For you guys. She describes it as a new DLC size mod that basically allows you to become, what's the word I'm looking for? There was another article that described it really, really well.
A mayor?
No. It's like a city builder. Like, you get to build your own colony. Because, for one, she released all new farming system where you can actually grow and sell fruit and different vegetables. You get new options for new foods. There's more turrets, pre-built biodomes,
mm-hmm.
and buildings. The biodomes let you actually create a green space in a dead planet. So kind of like indoor terraforming.
Yeah.
Plus extra food and drink options and mechs, working mechs, and new turrets to defend your base. It's all based around the idea of an outpost being like a colony.
Now you forgot the most important part of this thing that Archon would love.
What's that?
Yet the thing I found most intriguing is how this new mod brings functional mechs into Starfield.
Oh, I brought that up. I said mechs.
I didn't hear you say it. But they're not just mechs. They're functional mechs.
Yeah, I'm kind of leery about that because from what I read, it's like they're a defense measure for your outpost.
That's still better than nothing.
Run around. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Because I would love to get a bunch of... I would build on... Cheyenne? Just so I can get the Asher.
Have mechs running around your outpost protecting it. No one will touch it.
As long as the mechs aren't as open to friendly fire as Helldivers is.
Yeah, she said that this mod isn't meant to be a comprehensive rethink, change, or addition to the outpost system. It's production systems and many other aspects to it. And it is a very big mod, and she did a lot. I mean, when you're going with these mods that are not like the approved mods when they'll be coming out, be mm-hmm. leery, because a lot of times they will have plenty of bugs. Because they're a single-person developer doing a mod, they don't test them like they need to.
Especially big mods like this one sounds to be. There's also, in that same article, they talk about, there's several, on top of her mod, there's several quality of life mods that are good, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few that have been coming out. Most of them quality of life, because you really, without the creation kit, there's very limited what you can do to the API, because the API is not out. It's not available. Mm-hmm. And the API is what you need to add new content to the game. So I'm not sure how she was able to work around that with this, but she cannot add new NPCs or story elements like quests and things like that without the API.
That's probably why we don't see a lot of...
You won't see any content updates or mods until that comes out.
Well, hopefully they have it out within the next month, because I really want to see what these people can do.
Dude,
when
that comes out, I'm going to be diving into these mods, testing everyone out, letting you guys know what's up.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I don't do it right now is because I still have my achievements unlocked, and so I'm still trying to unlock them.
It's just a pain in the neck to do them right now.
Yeah.
And there haven't been... The quality of life ones are cool and all, but nothing extravagant. This is the first one where I thought, maybe I should.
Maybe.
We'll see.
I just want to be able to change the look of my skins. I just want skins.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get back into the community, the Discord.
Have you guys ever, from Mossy, he's one of our contributors, he goes, have you guys ever saw a bounty mission planet side for a Varan Zealot? He's hunted their ships in the void, but planet side bounty missions from the kiosk, as far as he can remember, has only been pirates and spacers. And I don't recall ever coming across them
are none for very good reason, and that's the Varun are not colonizing on planets.
They don't have to be colonizing on planets, though. The Zealots are out there. If they ever marked a named Zealot, then you could go find that Zealot and off them.
Yeah.
Or try hunting them.
I don't think there will be at all, because I'm still very, very convinced that Shattered Space is going to be mostly Varun-based, because it's still very, very secretive about them.
True.
And yeah, I don't think we're going to get anything like that until that comes out.
Plus, from a roleplay aspect, I come across way more spacers and pirates than I do zealots. No matter where I'm at, I'm coming across Ecliptic, spacers, Crimson Fleet, a lot more than I come across any Varan zealots.
Yeah. And you're going to bring up our boy Hicks as well.
Yeah, Hicks. mad props in your in-game pictures, man. The shots of that missile remind me of the Star Wars Boba Fett versus Obi-Wan, where they're flying through the asteroid field and you're following the missile as it flies through.
Smither had some really good shots.
Really?
Yeah. One of them with their character on the top of the mast overlooking New Lannis.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And then the one below that Budsky did with the river, that is probably one of my favorite environmental shots that I've seen so far.
I gotta say, my favorite best time shot is from Mossy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he has in the exploration photos, he has
a
picture where he killed a Starborn, and he screenshotted it right as they started crystallizing and vaporizing away.
Hicks awesome. Has done some really, really good pictures.
Yes, he has.
Back on the 5th, I think we mentioned him on the last episode. I don't remember. Yeah, I think we did, with the action shots, all the mm-hmm. explosions and everything like that. And then his recent ones with the missiles.
Yeah, he's actually doing a really good job with those. I'm so proud of our Discord, guys. And the pictures are putting in here.
So the last thing on our notes is something I found that was really cool. I put a link in there for you, Rook, if you wanted to check it out. There's this a guy by the name of BackgroundMost1180 on Starfield mm-hmm. Outpost Reddit did some pictures. And what he said is that moving on from Starfield until new content arrives, which we know a lot of people are doing that, I've created a museum outpost to park my ship and display most of the displayable stuff I've collected in over 1,000 hours of enjoying the game.
All right, I'm looking at these pictures.
Yeah.
If we do an outpost, personal outpost build, you have to compete against this one.
Right.
Not really.
Nope.
Not really, because this guy put some serious effort into this build.
It's incredible. It's by far the best outpost build I've ever seen. It's
literally so looks like something Bethesda put in their game.
Or even better than some of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely detailed. That had to take at least half of his 1,000 hours right there.
Dude, he has food just laid out on a table in order. That's awesome.
The place looks lived in, and it looks like a really, really, really nice house.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things displayed all over the place. I'm wondering if he actually used mods for some of this.
It doesn't. No, vanilla outpost build is what it's tagged as.
Oh, there you go. That's really, really, really good. So if you're listening, BackgroundMost1180, absolute fantastic job.
Yes. If you could post this online so people could visit your world and just look at this, that would be amazing. If that was an option, because I would love to see this in person in game.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to pretty much wrap it up, unless you have anything else you want to bring up, bud.
No, I ain't got anything else. We actually covered a lot for just the two of us.
Yeah. No, this is an absolute blast of an episode. It
went a lot better than I was expecting.
We're missing one of our key features, Archon.
We miss you, Archon.
He's always missed when he's not on the show. Same with Rook.
Always.
But, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. You got to do what you got to do. And he needs the rest. After working a 12-hour day, I was not going to ask him to come on the show.
You're nicer than I am.
I knew we can handle it.
Oh, yeah. Me and you can go on tangents all day.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach out for business or requests and things like that, you can email us, starfieldraw@gmail.com, or our main podcast company email, which is podcastraw@gmail.com. You can follow us on X, and which is aka Twitter, at starfieldraw. On Facebook, we are?
On Facebook, you can reach us at Raw Podcasts. And our Instagram is rawpodcast1.
If you want to join us on Discord, which I highly recommend, we still get new people all the time. Mm-hmm. Discord.gg, Greg, if you will, /RAWPODCASTS, Raw Podcast.
Ever since the interview with GG, you start correcting that.
Well, no, that's just, I don't want people to get confused, because we've had a lot of people message us in different areas saying, hey, I can't get on the Discord. How do you do it? And almost every time it was just a typo.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that Discord is Discord dot letter G, letter G.
And then the /, not the /, /.
Yeah.
And it's a
one
plural podcast. So we do multiples. If you guys want to check out our other show, Raw and Nerdy, I highly recommend it. We went to WonderCon recently, the three of us, and had an absolute blast. We've been releasing a series of episodes based on what we experienced, who we interviewed, including some top line actors and people in the gaming community and things like that. So
if they listened to our last episode, they would have heard one of those interviews. And I've mentioned a couple of times in this show about the panel.
Yes. Well, our latest episode actually was yesterday, and that was the one after that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I released them.
I'm talking about our Raw podcast. Or not Raw podcast. Man, Raw I am so tired. Our Starfield Raw last episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that one. Yeah, I'm out.
Not our Raw and Nerdy episode.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, man. If you can reach me as well on pretty much anything as at The Widget, except for Instagram, I am Author Widget.
You can find me on everything as Tomcat213, except for Steam and X. There I am Rook213.
All right, guys. Have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you next week.
We miss you, Archon. Y'all stay safe out there, y'all.